pure and holy, tried and true, with I'll be a sanctuary for you. Father, we thank you so much that we have willing hearts. Lord, we love you. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. We just love you. And every opportunity we get to share your word and to love each other as you have commanded, we thank you for it. Father, we bless those who are here and we bless those who couldn't make it. We see their spirits in between the seats as your angels stand before us as well. And we just pray that this time in the word, you will teach us more than we already know. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Why am I here? There are times when I look and I say, I have no business being on the pulpit because I never have anything to say, but he does. I thank you for giving me the opportunity for standing on this pulpit because I'm going to be here at least 2 hours. We've got a lot to cover, a lot that I want to give you, but again, it's God who provides the word. It's God that gives the message. We, during this season, remember a baby Jesus. Wonderful thought. A child in a manger who brings hope and joy to the world, who changes history, who does everything that we would ever want a Savior to do. But do you know he didn't stop? He continued to live. And I'm going to talk a little bit today about the Jesus that happened after he died. Did you know he appeared to the disciples? Several times. He had some messages. And today I'm going to bring something that I want you to think about. It's all about the heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all about your heart. And it's all about God's heart for you. It's all about the heart. Life begins with the heart. If your heart doesn't beat, you are not alive. About 4 weeks after the baby is conceived, the baby's heart begins to beat. The baby is now a physical life. We're considered to be a living, physical being. And throughout our life, we always check to make sure our heart is beating and our heart becomes a primary concern. Is there anybody here is not concerned about their heart beating? No? Okay, I'm not the only one. I find out that when I go to see the doctor, the first thing he does is check my heart. Because if my heart's not beating, there's no sense in me being there, amen? He checks it twice. When I walk in, the nurse or the nursing assistant checks my pulse to make sure that I have one. And then when I go in to see the doctor, he pulls out a stethoscope and he checks my heart a deeper examination to see whether or not the nursing assistant was correct. But it's all about heart. And it's funny, speaking of the military wants to make sure your heart is always right. So they keep you running constantly, called cardio. So they want to keep you going. And I remember doing what that was. I had an examination, and they said, we're going to have to do an EKG. Well, I knew what that was. They did the EKG, and they brought back a little thing that said, there's something wrong with your heart. And, of course, I panicked and said, can I get a new one? You guys are military. You got to be able to give me a new heart. Well, no. They checked it again. They found out something strange. That those who were athletic in the inner cities and did a lot of sports had a different rhythm. So their heart was a little different, and the cardiologist, the specialist, had to tell them I was all right, which made me feel good because I didn't want to have to get a new heart. It would have been government issue, and you know how those are. No, let me get back to my... Throughout our life, our heart is a primary concern. We exercise for cardiac strength, and we eat heart healthy. That's a new term, heart healthy. We know that when our heart stops, so does our physical life. But it is only when we accept Christ that our physical heart begins to beat. Amen? Up until then, you are dead in trespasses and sin. Your physical heart is beating, but your spiritual heart has not been quickened yet until you accept Jesus Christ. And then suddenly, that heart begins to beat. You are now alive. You are now part of His body. But there are some events as we live, and I'm going to talk about them, that can give you heartburn. Have you ever had heartburn? Sometimes it's bad pizza, bad food, but I'm going to talk about a good heartburn tonight. I'm going to talk about a heartburn that reaches deep into your spirit, into your soul, that quickens your need to learn more about Jesus. Let me turn to Luke chapter 24, 27 to 32. That's Luke chapter 24, 27 to 32. And of course, we talk about Luke that tells us about the beginning of Christ. But did you know he talks about something at the end? Let's touch on that. And beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and he knew them, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "He talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us." What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And they did not recognize who Jesus was, but yet they were telling this man that they did not know who Jesus was and what had happened. And Jesus walked with them, and he explained to them the scriptures and talked to them all about the scriptures that pertained to him. Can you imagine? They had been with Jesus all that time, but yet when they walked on the road with him, they did not recognize him. They did not know him, but they were eager to share the news that this stranger had not heard yet. They wanted them to know that there was a Jesus, but Jesus wanted them to know something too, that in the scriptures, they all talked about him. And as he explained to them and opened up the scriptures, their heart burned within them. After 3 years, heart did not burn. When he hung on the cross, their heart did not burn. When he came back and said, "Let me remind you what I told you," their heart burned. But let me explain also that they didn't recognize him until he broke bread with them. Did you see that? "Oh, that's Jesus. Isn't it funny how he's always feeding us? Always giving us some bread, always taking care of us. And then now, Jesus, I see you now." We need to make sure that we remember who Jesus is so that we can feed others the bread of life and explain to them who he is. I always get off track when I'm speaking to you guys. The love coming from you just keeps me going. So if I get off track, just say, "Pastor, back to your sermon. What is the heart? That's always a question. What is heart? We see that in poetry. "I love you with all my heart" is because we see that in all kinds of stuff. And we don't really understand what a heart is because it changes depending upon where we are. Our heart is light, when spring comes and the sun is shining. Our heart is heavy when it's dark and it's raining. We have a broken heart when somebody does not invite us to the prom. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The heart is a wonderful thing. However, if we don't know what the heart does, we miss the purpose that God has for us. What is the heart? Erdman's Bible Dictionary indicates that the heart is the core of a person, the deepest level of one's existence. You don't get any more primary than the heart. The heart is what keeps it going. The Bible considers the subject of the heart pretty important. It's enough to make reference to the heart over 826 times. Did you know that? If you ever wanted to know about the heart, look inside your Bible at the back. It has a listing of all the scriptures that pertain to the heart. I cheated. I counted every one. I wanted to know because I don't want to stand in front of you and say, this is what it did and said in the Bible. And then lightning strikes me and there's a burn. Never mind. Let me give you some example of what's in the heart. I'm going to touch on some of the ones I like. I'm not going to hit all 826 of them, maybe 800, but 826, no. This is my favorite, Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. This is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah and making sure the nation understood that he had shepherds, and these are the ones who stand behind the pulpit. I've been tracking Pastor Ricardo. He's been feeding you guys good. He's given you some sermons that are challenging you, moving you forward, feeding you, making you feel good, and making you want to come back. That's what a shepherd does. He makes sure that it is so good you got to come back and get some more of that stuff. I will give you shepherds. Nobody else can do that but the Lord. This is God's gift from his heart. His heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. For the Lord does not see as man does. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that true? It look like so you don't exist. And we spend the rest of our life trying to measure up to somebody else's idea of what we should look like on the outside. How many of you, before you came to church this morning, spent the extra 5 minutes in the mirror making sure that your outward appearance was right? How many? Don't put your hands up. I know who you are. Outward appearance. Because we want to look good. And we have an excuse now. We say, well, the Lord says we should represent, so we should look good. But sometimes we go too far. God says, come as you are. I already see what you look like on the outside. I'll take care of that. As you get older, you're going to look even more distinguished. Did you get my right side? God looks at the heart, and he says, there's some things in there that I want to change. There's some things in there that you've been hiding from others, but I see it, and I want to pull that out of your heart, and I'm going to make it good. Amen? How am I doing so far? All right, you guys haven't kicked me off of the pulpit, so I'm just going to keep going. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. There was a question. What happens, Lord, when Israel is destroyed? What happens when we can't find the love that we had? And he says, after all of this, Jeremiah, then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole heart. We're talking about people who didn't know the Lord. And the Lord is saying, I will change that. They're coming back to me with their whole heart. I'm just saying, Lord, hallelujah. I pray for the day when the entire world comes back to you with a whole heart, not partially, not some part of it, not, oh, Lord, what I can spare, but with my whole heart. What God promises, he will provide. And you will come back to him with your whole heart. And I've got to say this. This corona thing has caused people to step away from the church as we know it. Not just the building. I'm talking about the faith, the belief in who God is. And they're not only hiding their heart and staying away, but they are moving away in droves. Thank you, Jesus. My job is to make sure that people know who Jesus is. My only purpose in life is to bring those to salvation who don't know Jesus. And when I get news that they are turning away from him because they're fear, because of whatever, it breaks my heart. Come back. We need you. I know what it feels like to be afraid. And I know that this world is not always ready to hear about Jesus. But the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. We don't have enough workers now. We cannot have an excuse not to come back and get filled up again and carry that out into the world that needs him. Come back home. Come back home. Whoa, okay, I'm coming back again. All right, I'm all right. I see you guys want to come back up here, pat me on the back and leave me. I'll be all right. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 9. But what does it say? Speaking of the heart. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What is in your heart and what you speak with your heart leads to salvation. See, it wasn't just praying a prayer that got you there. Your heart had to be involved in this as well. And it led to salvation. That's why you see so many that say, I'm saved, and they're not. Because their heart was not involved. Ask yourself, is my heart involved right now? Was my heart involved when I accepted Christ? Was my heart part of the equation that led to me becoming a child of God? Only you know, and the Lord. But it leads to salvation. God has a heart for mankind so much. He loves you more than you'll ever know. You've heard me say that before. He gave of himself so much that we might be reunited with him. Anybody know what scripture that is? Hint, John 3:16. We've heard that. We keep coming back to that because that's what we stand on. God so loved the world, we always want to make sure. But I want you to notate, this is the heart of scripture. Everything else revolves around it. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. All the rest of the stuff in scripture adds to it. How are we doing so far? Talking about heart. David, I never could figure out how David was ever considered to be a man after God's own heart, but he was. I used to use David as an excuse. I ain't so bad. Look at what David did. Well, that didn't fly too long because it always brought me back to the question, what did David do that was so precious to God? He was a man after God's own heart. You'll find that in Acts 13:22. I won't read it. Even after multiple sins, multiple sins, David had a pattern of worship, confession of sins, repentance, and a deep consideration of his relationship to God. He never let that go. This resulted in David's throne being established forever. But it all came down to the heart. This is outlined. When David spoke to the Lord, he wrote the Psalms. Didn't matter whether he was feeling bad or feeling good, he wrote the Psalms. David got to a point of allegiance, his love, even his despair. But when David got to a point in his life that things were so bad and so dark, he couldn't even see what was going on. David said something that I always try to remember when things get bad. Psalms 51, 10, 11. Write that down. Psalms 51, 10 to 11. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." I was trained as a Methodist. And when I read this thing, I said, my goodness, David was Pentecostal. "Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Create in me a clean spirit." And I began to understand that the Holy Spirit never departed. We just are beginning to understand who he is. But when David said, "Create in me a clean heart," does that resonate with you? Are there things in your heart right now that you would prefer not to have? Are there things that you're dealing with in life that have made you angry, distant, uncertain? You no longer are the same person you were before this thing hit. Now you want to say, "I don't know if I'm the same person. I'm not worthy. I'm not really a Christian. I'm not really a child of God." Can you say with me, "Lord, create in me a clean heart"? Because if my heart's not right, nothing else ever will be. Clean heart. And he'll do that. But see, we need protection for our heart. We can't go out wearing a heart on our sleeve. That's what they used to say back in the old days. I still can't figure out how anatomically that's possible. But we cannot show everybody how we feel. We cannot walk around and say, "Just look at me, this is me," because not everybody's your friend. We have to have some protection for our heart. And Proverbs 4:23 gives us a wise thought. "Guard your heart, for from it springs the issues of life." All kinds of stuff can come out of your heart, but all kinds of stuff can go in your heart too if you let it. Guard your heart, because when you speak, what you have said is coming from your heart. Can I get an amen? There are times when you hold something back for years, and you don't say it because it's not right. Suddenly all it takes is one person to push you over that edge, and I'm going to say it. You're going to say it because it's been in there all along. Whether it's anger or whether it's love, what is in your heart is going to come out sooner or later. Guard your heart. Make sure the right things are going in. Make sure the right stuff is coming out of your mouth. Put a gate over your mouth. Like you're wearing these masks right now, just put a gate over your mouth. Be careful what you say. Guard your heart. I have a note here. This was for me, but I'm going to tell you. There will be a test after this, so you'll know. Okay, this is number one. I find that it's interesting that the breastplate of righteousness is positioned to guard your heart. The breastplate of righteousness, doing right, the right thing for the right reasons, to the right people, for the all of this righteousness. Are you right? No, we're working at being right. Righteousness doesn't come because you say you're righteous. Righteousness means you have to exercise being right and not in the rightness of other people. Is that a word, rightness? But the rightness that Jesus gives us in Scripture. And when we are always moving toward that righteousness, we are then protected by that breastplate of righteousness. Don't take it off and put it back on. It's not a t-shirt. Wear it. Keep it there. People need to know either you are righteous in God's sight, and you are, or they know that you're trying to do the right thing for the right reasons. You got that, right? All right, that's the one that's going to be on the test, so don't mess that one up. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. I love this scripture. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. How am I doing for time? I'm doing all right? All right. When I think about being anxious, and when I think about the heart, things that worry you here in your mind have a tendency of dropping down into your heart, causing depression. When you are looking at things that are good, you are standing straight. You are moving with firmness, with confidence. But when things begin to bombard your mind, suddenly you begin to droop. Do you see what I'm saying? That is that depression, that anxiety weighing you down. And when you begin to bend and stoop, it's hard to breathe. It's hard for your heart to beat. It's hard for you to see clearly what Christ has for you in life. And now this anxiety, which you never should be carrying because it's not your weight anyway, is now holding you back. That anxiety is blinding you from the potential and the possibilities God has for you today. Every day is a gift from God. But He has not designed you to be anxious for anything. You are His child. What are you worried about? Huh? Don't worry, be happy. God's got all kinds of wonderful things for you. Anxiety does not look good on you. Let me tell you that after 50 or 60 years of anxiety, you're going to have frown lines that people won't even be able to see your eyes. Get rid of that mess. Anxiety is not good. It hurts your heart. Anxiety is something that you were never designed to carry. Does anybody know where anxiety and worry comes from? Let me tell you, because I knew you were waiting for the answer. It's coming from the devil. Because the devil started in the Garden of Eden when they were about to decide to eat that fruit. And the enemy said, did not God say this? Well, wait a minute, wait. God said one thing, but the devil turned around and said, well, didn't God say something else? And they began to worry. Maybe we didn't hear everything God had to say. Maybe we better take a bite out of this. You know the story, right? He's been using that anxiety and that worry ever since. You say, Pastor, I don't think they really got worried. That doesn't make sense. When they bit into that forbidden fruit, what is the first thing they did? They searched around for a fig leaf to cover their whatever it was they had to get covered, right? They were worried that God was going to see them and know that they were naked. Nothing makes you more worried than being naked. And somebody looking at you. Never mind. Peace of God guards our hearts. When you are not anxious for anything, when you don't have to worry, you don't have anxiety. And it is the peace of God. And then we're good. Are we good? All right. Corinthians, let me give you one more. Corinthians 3:15-16. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Love praise, love worship, because it opens up another door to the Lord. But it also brings a peace of God which is able to rule. And the more the peace of God rules in your heart, the more you are able to worship and to praise. You don't get concerned about what's going around you. You are focusing on Him. Focusing on Him. So the Word of God can bring the peace of God. And that way we can share that peace with the body of Christ. Did you all get that? All right, that's the second part of the test now. You don't miss the good parts. When we deeply study, not just go past it, but when we deeply study the scriptures, to this day, Jesus still comes along and walks on the road of life, just as he did on the road to Emmaus. And he walks with us. He opens up our hearts and our minds to the truth of the word, taking us deeper into the understanding of that living word. And that living word directs our life. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what we've been taught, and he burns those truths into our hearts. We study the word. He walks on a road with us. You're not walking alone. Didn't he promise that he would never leave you or forsake you? Didn't he promise that? Has he ever broken a promise to you? So he's walking along the road with you right now on that road. He's going to go further because there's much more to do. But he's going to walk with you, and he's going to remind you of what he has said. And when we continue along that path, the word takes residence in our heart. It takes residence. It prepares us for the work that needs to be done further along the road. So if we're quiet and we reflect on what Christ has said to us through his word, I guarantee you, your heart will burn. You know, a holy heartburn, and you've heard it first right here, this pulpit. Holy heartburn, that's when you study the word and you say, Lord, illuminate your word for me. Lord, teach me what it is I need to know. Lord, explain to me what it is I'm seeing. Your heart burns. That's a holy heartburn. Anybody want holy heartburn? I want it every time I listen to the word, every time I study. That's a worthy condition for all of us. And if you've not experienced it yet, I pray to God you will experience it from now on. I pray that God will always challenge you, walk with you, direct you, remind you of why he has called you into his kingdom. It's more than us now. We have work to do. We have a time of challenge, not just in the United States, but in the world. There are many times that people are backing up because they have not seen the proof. Jesus coming. He said he was coming. He's late. Come on, what's going on? He's never late because he sent you to be his representative. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor, slow down. Wait a minute. That's your job, ain't it? You're the one doing the preaching. No. My job is to train up the saints for the work of the ministry. Ephesians. That's what I'm here for. Not for entertainment, even though I can sing. No, they're not there. What we are required to do is train you so that you know when you walk out that door, you've got the work to do. Are you being trained? I just told you a secret. That when you get in the Word of God and when you begin to study, He will now walk with you and work with you. Your heart's going to burn. When you go to the gym and you're hitting those weights and you're pumping that iron and your arm starts to what? Starts to what? And when you start running and you're about 10 miles down the road and you feel your calves start to hurt and ache and Charlie hurts, your legs start to, and when you get in that word and you start to pray and you're listening to what God has to say and everything is going right and your heart starts to, that's what we want. Life is just an exercise. That's all it is. You're here to be built up and prepared. You're here to exercise. You're here to build your faith and your strength, and you're here to burn. And that's what I want. So next time you go to the gym over there and you're working out and you start to feel the burn, go back home, open up that Bible and go through there until your heart starts to burn. Can we do that? All right. Right now, Lord, stand to your feet. Where are musicians? Come on up, folks. Let's bring some worship and some praise into this house, and let's remind ourselves what God has. Stand to your feet, and if God has spoken to you, if He has given you something that is important to you, and you feel Him in your heart, I encourage you, come on down to the front. Come on down to the altar. Come on down. If not, you can stay in your seats. If you don't trust me, if you think that I'm going to throw some Holy Ghost fire on you and you're going to fall over, I don't care. It's all right. If nothing else, let's just feel Him in our hearts. And Father, we thank You. You've given us something to think about. You've given us in our hearts to live for. And we thank You that You burn within our hearts. Bless all who have been here, all who have come, Lord. And we ask that You would strengthen us. Bless our hearts, Lord. And as we leave this place, let us carry that fire with us. Bless all that are here, Lord.